sermon this morning comes from 1 Peter. We'll start the reading at verse 22 in chapter 1. And the sermon will be from chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Chapter 1, starting with verse 22. Hear what God says. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Pray with me. Father, again, we thank you for preserving your word, and we ask you now to direct our hearts in all the places where we've had hardened hearts. Please break them. Father, we thank you for your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, Father, we present ourselves to you for surgery. Do a great work on us, God. Do a great work. Leave nothing intact that is not of you. But we ask, Father, that you would judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts so that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, so that you will be glorified more and more in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My wife and I have cousins who were without a baby for over a decade, and this was a desire of their hearts. And they learned of a cousin who was with child and planning to give the child up for adoption. So they eagerly volunteered, saying, "Don't give this baby to a stranger, but bring this child into our family. Let us adopt the baby." And the mother agreed. So they waited with great anticipation as the months rolled by, waiting for this child to be born. The child was born, the baby given to them, but to their sorrow, the child would not eat. They couldn't get the baby to eat. They couldn't take a bottle. Even when they tried a feeding tube, the baby would just throw up. So after all this anticipation, after all of this, waiting to have this child, holding this child, there they were, with a child that was dying. You can imagine the sorrow, you can imagine the distress. As we look at this passage here, and as we consider, here we're, in this story we're talking about a physical death, but here we look, and God gives you this command, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You see that you are the child of God. And as these parents were distressed, longing to see this child be fruitful, this child grow in strength, and yet we're faced with this disappointment and this sorrow, your Heavenly Father looks upon you and says, you are like this child. You need to long for this Word. You need this Word to grow in strength, to grow in knowledge, to be fruitful, even to survive. As we look at Psalm 119, Psalm 19,
And we looked at all the things that the Word of God is good for. Restoring the soul. God looks at you and desires to have your soul restored. And yet, I imagine in the depths of your heart, you know you need this. God looks at you and says, you need to be made wise. And He brings you His Word to do this. God looks at you and says, your heart needs to rejoice. And yet we walk about in sorrow and in shame when we should be diving into this Word, chewing on this Word, swallowing this Word down in order to grow in respect to our salvation. So the call for you this morning, for you to daily, make pursuing God through His Word your priority. See, this isn't a one-time thing. You don't come to church and get filled up, and then you're good for the rest of the week. But you need this every single day. It's like coming to our fellowship meal, or coming just for our snack, and that's all the food you eat for the entire week. You're going to be a miserable creature. So I ask you, are you a miserable creature now? Are you a miserable person throughout the week? Are you plagued by sins? Are you plagued by sorrows? If this is the case, you need to run to God's Word. This is where the strength lies. This is where the joy lies. So daily, make it your priority to pursue God through His Word. First, in order to do this, you need to give up the pacifiers for the pure Word. Look with me at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word. You see these things, this malice and guile and hypocrisy, envy and slander, these are things that are actually a replacement for God. They are a replacement for pursuing God's Word. What I said, the main point here I'm trying to express is you need to give up the pacifiers for the pure Word of God. I imagine you've all seen pacifiers. In our families, we called them binkies. We didn't think we would use them, but then when our child would not shut up, we got these rubber things and we stuck them in their mouths and it worked. And he would sit and he would suck and he would suck and he would suck. But he really wasn't getting any nourishment, was he? He wasn't getting any help. He wasn't getting any strength. You see, there's so many things in this world that are just pacifiers for God's Word. We run to them and we embrace them and we just sit around chewing on them and sucking on them and don't pursue God. And we end up weak. We end up full of sorrow. We end up not accomplishing anything. And we end up with lives filled with malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander. When my wife's grandfather was a child, they didn't have pacifiers yet. They had this thing that they would do. They would take a towel and they would put sugar in it and they would wrap it up and they tied it around his neck. And so whenever he started getting upset, or he could just take this towel and start sucking on a sugar towel. The question is, what have you been sucking on? The question is, where have you been getting your strength? The question is, where have you been finding your joy? This malice and guile, this hypocrisy, as we find it in putting other people down. I've found so often that when I laugh at people, it's because I have a sense of superiority. When you look at someone and you laugh at their stupidity, when you look at someone and laugh because they've made a mistake, really, why are we laughing? We're laughing because we're confident that we're better than them. Surely we're not that foolish. Surely we're not that stupid. God says we're to throw off all of these things. You know that even good things can be pacifiers. I've said it many times that a part of the pastoral life, and indeed a part of the Christian life, is deciding what good things not to do. Because you can't do everything. You cannot follow every pursuit. You cannot do every good thing that's out there. You don't have the time for it. But so often, even the good things that we do become pacifiers. The good things that we do separate us and keep us from having time for pursuing God and pursuing His Word. Christ even put it in these terms, speaking of children and parents, saying that you must love Him more than your father and mother. You must love Him even more than your children. This is showing that nothing can come before Him. And if we aren't pursuing Him and His Word, what are you putting before your relationship with God? What are you putting before it? Because indeed, anything that's taking the place of time with God is an idol. We worship the idols of the land, as the church has been warned not to do from the beginning. So what is it? What have you been sucking on? Rather than pursuing God's Word. I'm calling you to diagnose your true condition here. Diagnose your true condition. Search your heart for this malice that actually says all malice. A word tied to malignity. You know, when people get a tumor, they take the tumor, they take a piece of it, and they examine it to see if it's malignant. This word malice carries the same idea, something to do you harm. As we seek to do others harm, as we would seek to hurt others, we're called to throw off all of this. The idea of guile, the word literally translated would be bait for fish. I don't know if that's helpful for you or not. But the idea is something that's false, something that you would present to be good, but really is just for someone's harm, as if you were catching a fish. The idea of hypocrisy, it can be thought of as all flattering and counterfeiting friendship, showing love in words and outward signs when the heart is otherwise affected. Do you do that? Do you act like you care about people? We dealt with this a bit last week, didn't we? Pretending as if we care about someone with our words and with our smiles, but really not loving them enough to give them what they really need, the gospel. It's hypocrisy. We could even be guilty of hypocrisy as we sit and worship. We are guilty of hypocrisy even in our Christian life from time to time. In Matthew 22:16 and verse 18, people came to Christ and says, and they sent their disciples, these are not Christ's disciples, these are disciples of the wicked rulers of the day, and they sent their disciples to Him, that is Jesus, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that You are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one. For You are not partial to any. It says, but Jesus perceived their malice and said, Why are you testing Me, you hypocrites? Why are you testing Me, you hypocrites? I'm fearful that the same words could echo to us even as we sit here. As we sing our psalms and not from the heart. As we praise Him, not from the heart. We call Him Lord and Savior, but do not follow Him as Lord. Diagnose your true condition here. Diagnose it. This idea of putting aside, the word literally translated would be a taking off. Taking off, that is, take off all of your malice, take off all of your guile, take off all of your hypocrisy, take off all of your envy, take off all of your slander. It doesn't say, if you have hypocrisy, if you have slander, if you have guile, if you're a hypocrite. It actually assumes we are. And if it assumes we are, if God assumes it, it's true. It's the idea of taking off an old garment, something that's worthless. We've all seen people at Walmart late at night that they should just get rid of that t-shirt. Something that's no good, it's worthless, it's hanging by a thread. Take it off and get rid of it. It's worthless. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says that in reference to your former manner of life, and it's the same word, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. James 1:21 says, using the same word, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Isn't this beautiful, this idea that we're taking off this garbage and this filth? We're setting aside something worthless and receiving a word that is able to save our souls. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in what's being taken away and rejoice in what's being given. Next, look with me again at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now what is that, growing in respect to salvation? What is it to grow in respect to salvation? I mean, at one point we understand that we come to faith and we're saved. At the point where we recognize, hey, I'm so messed up, I am such a sinner, there is no way that I can save myself and inherit eternal life, and we trust that Christ died to save us, at that point, we're given salvation, right? We're given it. It says we're given eternal salvation. We're given eternal life. So what's this idea of growing in respect to salvation? How do we do that? What is the point there? Well, the idea is that as you drink the Word, as you pursue the Word, all this other stuff starts falling off of you. All of your hypocrisy, all of your guile, all of your deceit, it falls off. And you become more and more like the true Son of God that you are already called. The designation that's been placed on you. You've been called son. You've been called daughter. You've inherited eternal life. The idea that you may grow, that the Word as your spiritual nourishment, that you grow in spiritual life and you grow in strength. You grow up in respect to your salvation. You're no longer this child. But you're becoming someone strong. You're becoming someone powerful for the kingdom. You see, this growth results, gives results. This growth gives action. It's not as if we're the baby sitting, sucking on the binky, getting weaker and weaker, but you're given what you truly need to be strong and to go forth. You go forth and you become like Christ. And I will reiterate again that Christ is not a chump. Christ is not the puppy lip guy that's walked around smiling and staring at everyone like they try to portray him as. Christ is not the guy standing, knocking at the door, wringing his hands, hoping someone will open the door and let me in. Christ is not the baby in a manger. Christ is not the one hanging on the cross anymore. Christ is the King of Glory. Christ is the one that overcame sin and overcame death. That is who you are called to be. The ones who are nourished by the Word. who grow up in respect to your salvation. And then you become like Christ, the King of Glory, throwing off your sin, marching forth in a fallen world, and seeing the kingdom advance. This is what the Word of God accomplishes. Is this you? Is this you? If not, what have you been sucking on? What have you been sucking on? Where are you getting your nourishment? Where are you getting your strength? You need the Word of God to be like Christ. So commit to it. Commit to it for every day of your life, making it the priority every day of your life. If you're not, discern now what your idol is. What is your statue? What are you bowing down to? If not Christ, where is your time going? Where is your affection going? Where are you finding your joy? Where are you finding your strength? This is your idol. This is your golden calf. Find it and destroy it. Find it and destroy it. Make the Word your priority. Show that you worship Christ. Prove it. Prove it. Are you a Christian? Do you love Christ? Prove it. Prove it. Make His Word a priority. We read our Bibles also to grow in respect to our freedom. We just looked at growing in respect to your salvation. Now I call you to read your Bible every day to grow in freedom. This idea that we're putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And like newborn babes, you are to long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You see all of these things, the malice and the guile. These are cold iron shackles on your ankles. Your hypocrisy, shackles on your wrists. Cold irons clamped around your neck. Whatever you obey, you are the slave of. You are called to obey Christ. As you make the Word your priority, as you make it your source of nourishment, you grow in respect to freedom. John 8:31. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Are you free? Have you been freed from the shackles of sin and death? In respect to your salvation, if you trust in Christ, indeed, yes. But as you cling to any sin, it is a shackle on you. Even wrong attitudes, even wrong thoughts. You are called to be free. So be free. When I was in grade school, I had this art teacher. He was a man, and what you're picturing is probably exactly him already. He had his curly hair that was longer than the other teachers, and he had this little mustache and this little hair thing here, and he had these wireframe glasses, and he was a little bit eccentric, and he didn't just teach art, but he was an artist. He would do sculptures, and one of his sculptures, he called it Caged Bird. I never knew what it was, so I'd drive by his house, my parents would drive, and I would look. We would go by his house, and I saw this thing. It was enormous. It had two huge posts that went up and this big cross beam that went across, and there was this chain hanging down. And he had this thing. It was some wood that he had taken and twisted, and it hung there like this. And when the wind blew, it would kind of rock back and forth. And I always wondered, what is that thing? And one day, one of the students asked him, said, "So what is that thing?" And he said, "I call it Caged Bird." And one of the students said, "Yeah, you know, I could see that that bird couldn't get away." And he was elated that somebody got it. That someone understood what he was talking about, this structure here, just swinging, just back and forth, back and forth.
Is that you in respect to your sin? Just stuck. Just stuck, swinging back and forth, back and forth. Never being free. This is you. I call upon you. Run to the Word. Run to the Word for strength. Run for this Word to be set free. We are supposed to be like the bird that flies away, all shackles off, the cage of sin smashed. If you go to the Word and you try and you're trying and you're praying and you're still not getting it, come on, just come. I'm a teaching elder. That's my job. I am a teaching elder. It's my job to teach you what God says. And that is my delight. That is my delight. If you're not getting it, come on. Let's look at it together. Let's work it out. Boy, this needs to be your priority every day. The Word of God, Deuteronomy 32:47, it says, it is your life. The Word of God is not an idle word, but it is your life. What have you been sucking on? What have you been going through for life? Job 23:12 says, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my portion of food. You don't have time to read the Word? Most of us could stand to give up a meal. Just give up a meal and read the Word. You don't have time. Is a meal greater than the Word? Psalm 119, 9 through 11. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You are a Christian. You are called by His name. You are called by His name. You are Christian. You are Christ-like. You are son. You are daughter of the kingdom of God. And in light of that, the Word should be your joy and be your delight. The baby at the beginning of the story, she was flown to Children's Hospital. And the church prayed. And she began to eat. Yesterday, we celebrated. Because this child eats. Because this child gets the nourishment that she needs. She is called Michelle. And her parents love Christ. And we look forward to her growing more and more in strength and in knowledge. Call upon you, eat. Eat. Eat the Word. Make it the joy and the delight of your heart. Eat the Word. Make it your life every day. Every day. Make this your nourishment. Daily. Daily. Pursue God through His Word. So that you will be nourished and He will be glorified. Pray with me. Oh, our great and powerful Lord, we repent. We repent. God, we turn from our golden calves. We turn from the idols that we have erected. God, cause us now to make good our membership vows even. That we would diligently read your word, an oath that we swore before you. God, cause us to run for you. And Father, when we neglect you, smack us down. And cause us to repent and cause us to seek you.
so that you will be glorified more and more in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.